ladies and gentlemen, each one of our speakers have 15 minutes. They will be warned when the 15 minutes are almost up. And then if they don't stop, I shoot them with a water pistol from behind. To stay on schedule. And our first speaker is Professor Oswell Muzon, Kogi State University, Nigeria. And I give him the floor. Muzon is going to speak about the religion in the Nigerian constitution. And I give him the floor.
Chairman of the occasion, distinguished professors, ladies and gentlemen, my paper is actually titled Insurgency in Nigeria. Insurgency in Nigeria. Addressing the causes as part of the solution. Let me read the introduction and then I'll speak to the paper. Nigeria is at a dreadful precipice. Observers of Nigeria, and indeed everybody with an interest in Nigeria, must be very concerned about what the fallout would be should Nigeria be unable to surmount our current problems. The problems are in a complex thread of social, political, ethnic, religious, and legal, including constitutional problems, which now bedevil the country at proportions never before experienced in the turbulent and checkered history of this potentially great nation. Religion may well add to the unending list of Nigeria's woes, but ironically, it could well portend a panacea if properly harnessed and applied. This paper examines the causative factors fostering the tendency to insurgency and instability in Nigeria and considers policy and institutional options that can be adopted to save the day. That is the introduction. Now, the problem is stated utilizing a recent speech that was delivered by our immediate past Chief Justice, the immediate retired past Chief Justice of Nigeria, Justice Mustafa, a Muslim. Justice Mustafa was speaking in a paper titled Media and the Judiciary, to a paper which recently achieved its second anniversary as a daily newspaper. That is, the National Mirror, I'd like to quote what Justice Mustafa said and what prompted my thinking and my writing of this paper. That statement was made only on the 21st day of December 2012, barely 3 weeks ago. And it says, Nigeria is at the moment a very confused state. It is primarily because it's at the crossroads or at the brink of a dreadful precipice or cliffhanger. It says the indicators are glaring, profuse, and ominous. And it sums up, and I quote, the following indicators. It says, this is a quotation, Boko Haram insurgency, political violence, corruption, nepotism, tribalism, indiscipline, abduction and kidnapping, armed robbery, murder and extortion, bombings of places of worship, and innocent Nigerians are all the indicators of, and I quote him, a failing state. Perhaps we should have said a failed state. Now, these are the problems. In my paper, I analyzed each of these indicators. It is each of these problem areas that Justice Mustafa mentioned. And I came to the conclusion that none of these ones can make Nigeria actually a failing or failed state, except one. And that is the issue of insurgency. And that is where I dwelt. Insurgency is not a new thing in Nigerian history, but it's on the crescendo. It's increasing on a daily basis. Unfortunately, in the more recent version of it, is either religiously sponsored or has a basis in religion or is somehow related, has some form of a functional relationship with religion. And that is the focus, and that is the potential tragedy. When I analyze all the other factors that Justice Mustafa mentioned, and I said, I concluded that none of them can cause the failing of Nigeria, particularly corruption. Corruption has been with Nigeria from day one. It has been part of the, in fact, it has even passed the stage, you can call it an endemic problem. It is now part of the culture. For most sociologists, we say it's part of the culture, but I give it a higher categorization. I think corruption in Nigeria is the mortar, the cement that brings together the deceptive fabrics of Nigeria. Without corruption, Nigeria cannot exist. Now that is the truth. It's unfortunate that I have to make this several miles away from Nigeria, but it's true. I make a statement, and I have made a statement elsewhere. Without corruption, Nigeria cannot exist. Like one paper, international paper, said the definition, the spelling of the word Nigeria is the same spelling as corruption. So corruption cannot make Nigeria to fail, to disintegrate, to break apart. But insurgency can, and so I now dwell on insurgency. Because the respected learned Chief Justice has mentioned that these factors can make Nigeria break into pieces. But let's look at the insurgency. And I took up the history of the insurgency in Nigeria. And the first incident of the insurgency was in 1961. Very, in retrospect, it's very benign. Some campaign led by one individual, an academic, and lasted for just a few months before it was overrun by the military, the state security system. After that, that was led by Adaka Boro. For the Niger Delta, that was the first instance when the problems of the Niger Delta were brought to the fore. After that, there were a number of others. I mentioned the Ogoni, I mentioned even the Biafra War, and a number of them. And then I zeroed in on the recent, the current one. I mentioned incidents in the West, the Oodua boys. I also mentioned the Northern experiences, the Jos experience, the Kano experience, the Maitasene experience. Maitasene experience particularly was an intra-religious problem, but it ended up killing thousands, mostly thousands of Muslims, because they felt they were coming as a purifying force within the Islamic community. But that was not a problem. It was settled with intra-religious mechanisms. What we have now, the bombings of churches and so forth, is a very serious matter. And I think that is what the retired Chief Justice was mentioning. And I dwelt on the causes of these problems. I looked at a lot of causes, about six different causes, including political alienation, including economic deprivation, unemployment, poverty, and a number of factors I analyzed. I dwelt on these extensively, doing some fairly good research on them. But then, I found that even all of these other causes, none of them, in terms of the Nigerian situation, is as potent as the religious cause. The religious basis of insurgency in Nigeria, as it is now being experienced in Nigeria, can and has all the potentials to break the country into two or more. As a matter of fact, I said that Nigeria at this moment has passed the situation where the former Yugoslavia was, just beyond the lifespan of Tito. When Tito left, it was clear that Yugoslavia was going to break apart. But Nigeria has reached a stage worse than that. Nigeria has reached a stage that is about likable to where Father Aidid was with Somalia. That is where we are. And if this current religiously motivated insurgency is not curbed, and I think the government is doing what they can, you know the old Latin statement, nemo dat, what don't have it. You can't give what you don't have. In other words, if the government, the current government, or any government has the mechanism, the capability to stem the tide, yes, it will, but I don't know. Because even Justice Musaba mentioned it, that it seems the current problem has gone beyond the capacity, the capability of the security agencies to manage. So how do we manage a religious-based insurgency? What are the factors motivating this religious basis? You see, Nigeria, at the point of independence, particularly in the north, and this particular insurgency is based in the north. At the point of independence in 1960, there were only about, well, the studies indicate that there were only 2.1 million Christians in the north. In other words, the vast majority of citizens in the north were Muslims. Today, as we are talking, that 2.1 million has increased by 36.8 million Christians in the north. And that indicates a number of things. One, obviously, Christianity is growing by leaps and bounds in the north. Two, obviously, it is challenging the dominant religion of the north. Three, obviously, that challenge is raising issues of concern from the establishment and followers of the other religion. You can now see the basis of the conflict. And you can also now project that if Christianity should sustain this current momentum of growth, the crisis, the conflict, will become more intensified. We might come, God forbid, we pray, but we might come to a situation where the two religions are so powerful, each of them is capable enough to challenge the other. And if we come to that, in the theory of conflict, in the theory of insurgency, we have a war, a religious war. We pray we don't come to that. So that's where we are. The causative factors are glaring. The other ones, the economic ones, which propelled the dynamics of the crisis in the Niger Delta, for example, are still there. But of all of them, like I said earlier, only the current one, and to some extent the one that has been doused in the Niger Delta, can cause a split, a disintegration, a breakup of the federation called Nigeria. Now, theoretically also, I look at the aspect of regionalization of conflict or insurgency in Nigeria. So far, of the six or seven of them I studied in the paper, none of them has gone beyond a regional basis. All of them are based in one. The Biafra was Eastern Nigeria. The Niger Delta was the Niger Delta oil-producing area. The Odua group was in the West, Yoruba area. The Mighty Senate also was in the West, even though there's a sizable number of Muslims in the West. And in fact, talking about the West and Islam, I must mention this key fact, this point, which I've always said could be a good thing to adopt, particularly in the North. The Yorubas, the West, have come to a point of indifference about religious basis. You have a brother, the same mother, the same father, with a sister or a brother, the same mother, the same father. One is an imam, is a chief imam, is a malam. The other one is a bishop in one of the regular churches, and so forth. They eat together when it's time for Christmas or any of the Christian religious celebrations. The Muslim ones celebrate with the Christians, and vice versa. When it comes to that, is what the Yorubas have achieved of what I might call religious stability.
Sorry to interrupt,
but
I think your time is up.
Oh,
I thought
actually
I
won.
All right.
So, in the process, having made these conclusions, I made some policy proposals. And I recommended the establishment of a supreme body, a supreme religious body that should be composed of the chiefs of each of the competing religions and chaired by an appointee or the president. Hopefully, when we come to this point that we're about to break up, this kind of body can intercede and hopefully be established very much.